A quarter of all Rhode Islanders get health insurance through Medicaid. It accounts for more than a third of the state budget, and those costs have been going up. That's why Governor Gina Raimondo called for deep cuts to the program. She asked for a plan in two parts, one to find immediate savings, another to propose some long-term reforms. Rhode Island Public Radio's Kristen Gourlay joins us now to talk about that plan and how it will affect patients and providers.
Hi, Chuck.
Hi, Kristen. This was one of the governor's big wins, a plan to trim about $180 million from Medicaid, made it into the budget. So what's happening now?
Well, the governor asked this Reinvent Medicaid Working Group not only to come up with a plan to save all that money right now, as you mentioned, she asked them to come up with a longer-term plan so we don't have to keep doing this. And we've just gotten a look at that longer-term plan, spearheaded by Health and Human Services Secretary Elizabeth Roberts. And it's basically a set of goals with some specific targets attached.
So can you give us the headline here? What are they trying to accomplish?
Well, the headline is that Roberts and her team want to accelerate this move away from paying doctors and hospitals a fee for each and every service. They want to move toward paying them for the quality of care they provide. You know, right now, most Medicaid payments in Rhode Island are fee-for-service. So instead, they want to, for example, pay a group of doctors to manage the health of a group of patients. And ultimately, here's one of those targets I mentioned. They want 80% of all Medicaid payments to have some aspect tied to quality or value.
So can you give us an example of, say, one patient? What would this look like for a single patient?
Here's one way it might look for a patient, say, with diabetes. So she might be assigned to something called a managed care organization. That's where Medicaid pays an insurer a set amount for each patient and says to them, okay, you figure out how to spend that money to keep her healthy. A lot of us are actually in managed care plans right now. This managed care organization might send a community health worker to this patient's house to help her maybe sort out her medications or remember to check her blood sugar. If she's depressed and needs mental health care, there's someone on her team, so to speak, who can be looped in to provide that. If it works, she's not ending up in the emergency room all the time because her blood sugar is low and she's feeling better.
Okay, so besides getting away from fee-for-service, what are some of the other targets that this plan lays out?
Well, the plan really focuses on Medicaid patients with the highest needs, the ones who usually cost the system the most. That's not their fault, of course. They have complex medical problems usually, and this can be a really complex healthcare system to navigate. But for example, the elderly and the disabled, caring for them in nursing homes is the most expensive way to care for them. Sometimes it's necessary, but Secretary Roberts and her Reinvent Medicaid team believe too many people are in nursing homes who don't need to be. So they've set a target that by 2020, half our spending on these patients should be for services in their home or community. They want to see a decline each year in the number of these patients admitted to the hospital or seen in the emergency room. And the first part of this plan actually laid out some tighter restrictions for who qualifies for nursing home care.
Kristen, are they talking at all about cutting services or dropping some patients from Medicaid?
No. I asked Secretary Roberts about this, and she said they're not cutting any benefits or taking anyone off the Medicaid rolls.
We also said we were not going to manage the budget by removing categories of service. So there are and always will be changes that happen through implementation. UnitedHealthcare, for example, who serves many thousands of our enrollees, may change the drug formulary, or they may have a contract with a provider and not a contract with another provider. That is something we are accountable for, but it is not something that is built into any of these reforms.
So it's possible a Medicaid patient who's enrolled in a new managed care plan for the first time, you know, might have to change doctors or take a generic drug that's different from the one she's used to, for example, if these initiatives are implemented.
Well, it sounds like the bigger impacts for now then will be on doctors and other healthcare providers.
I think that's right. They're going to be asked to change the way they get paid. Primary care doctors in particular are going to be asked to work in concert with other providers to care for patients. That's a model called a medical home that's already in pretty wide use in Rhode Island, and many primary care providers are already doing this. We saw in the budget that hospitals and nursing homes will see payment reductions, but there's a plan in the works, no details yet, to get some federal funding to beef up a pot of money to use as an incentive program for them. if we get better at keeping people out of the hospital, the theory goes, we have to help hospitals as that source of revenue dips. So this incentive program is supposed to help them do that if they meet certain goals.
Okay, so what's next?
Well, some pieces of this plan need a federal stamp of approval, but the hard part comes now, and that is working out the details and actually making it happen.
All right, thanks, Kristen. Kristen Gourlay covers healthcare for Rhode Island Public Radio.
Healthcare reporting on Rhode Island Public Radio is funded in part by a grant from the Rhode Island Foundation, Rhode Island's only community foundation.